Hello, this is Burke Midget with The Word Works, a podcast outreach of In Christ Ministries. By the way, The Word Works, and I'm glad you're here. Today I want to share with you a lesson I shared many years ago. I'm going to read some things, some poems and writings. It's very special to my heart. In fact, it's called Christmas in Our Hearts. Years ago, my mother had a book that she would put out around Christmas time on the coffee table. It was called Christmas in the Heart. And there is a saying from that book. It goes like this. It's Christmas on the highway in the thronging busy mart. But the dearest, truest Christmas is the Christmas in the heart. In 1952, Peter Marshall wrote a sermon called Let's Keep Christmas. I'd like to read from that sermon. We all feel the pressure of the approaching Christmas. The traffic is terrible. You can't find a parking place, and the stores are crowded. Mob scenes make shopping a nightmare. You're thinking about presents, wondering what in the world you can get for so-and-so. You think of friends and loved ones who are so hard to shop for. You can't think of anything they need, which is really rather strange when you take time to think of it. Maybe there's nothing in the store that they need, but what about some token of love? What about love itself, and friendship, and understanding, and a helping hand, and a smile, and a prayer? You can't buy these things in any store, and these are the very things people need. Let's not permit the crowds in the rush to crowd Christmas out of our hearts, for that's where it belongs. Christmas is not in the stores, but in the hearts of people. Let's not give way to cynicism and mutter that Christmas has become commercialized. It will never be, unless you let it be. Your Christmas is not commercialized unless you have commercialized it. Let's not succumb to the sophistication that complains, Christmas only belongs to the children. That shows you've never understood Christmas at all. For the older you get, the more it means, if you know what it means. Christmas, though forever young, grows old along with us. Have you been saying, I just can't seem to feel the Christmas spirit this year? That's too bad. As a confession of lack of faith, it's rather significant. You're saying that you feel no joy that Jesus came into the world. You're confessing that his presence in the world is not a reality to you. Maybe you need all the more to read the Christmas story over again. Need to sit down with the Gospel of Luke and think about it. Mary pondered the words of the angel in her heart. Maybe that's what we need to do. Ponder the words of the Christmas story in our hearts. This year, let's have Christmas in our hearts. Wow, how appropriate that is from 1952. One person said it's not even the beginning of Christmas until it's Christmas in the heart. Let's read the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her first son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I got to thinking about it. What did everyone give from their heart the first Christmas? Well, the first that gave is God. God gave his only Son. John 3:16 declares that, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 Timothy 3:16 says that God was manifest in the flesh. So really, what we call Christmas began in the heart of God, and it's complete only when it reaches the heart of man. The second who gave was Caesar Augustus. We can see in Luke 2, verse 1, he gave a decree. He gave a decree that prompted Joseph and Mary to return home. He also gave the Jews a desire to break away from the dominion of Rome. It was really the right time. God had to move history around, and he used Caesar to do it. You know, Psalms 31:15 says, My times are in your hand. I remember years ago in 1979, when God used a man named Don Horton to write me a letter. That letter changed my life. It changed the direction of my life because he invited me to be a part of something and offered me a position to be able to minister to people. Divine connections are so important. God orchestrates so many things, and your decisions affect the lives of others, just like the decision of Caesar Augustus to give a decree. Over in Micah 5:2, it says, But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. You know, over in the book of John, chapter 7, starting with verse 40 through 42, it reads, Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is a prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Verse 42 says, Hath not the scripture said that Christ comes from the seed of David and out of the house of Bethlehem where David was? You see, God had to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem to fulfill prophecy. God had the plan set up. The third who gave was Joseph. What did Joseph give? He gave his trust to God after receiving a dream. I was reading one time, one little boy who was playing Joseph in the church Christmas play told someone, I'm playing Joseph. I don't have any lines to say. But you know, Joseph really did. Joseph's silence spoke volumes. He stood silently by the manger and offered stability, support, and strength. He gave his trust to God for the next 33 years, maybe almost 34 years. Almost 34 years of trust to prove out the truth that Mary had told him and that was confirmed in the dream. You know this, the resurrection validated his faith and trust. So God, Caesar Augustus, and Joseph. Who else gave? Mary, of course. She gave the world to Christ. We see that in verse 5 and 6 of Luke 2. Gabriel gave the message to Mary, not the angel of the Lord, Gabriel. And it says in Luke 1, 26 through 38, And in the sixth month, of the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail! Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And then skip down to verse 34. Then Mary said unto the angel, after he'd given her instructions, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Remember when Jesus spoke to the man at the pool? Those were, you know, when the angel stirred the water, they were trying to get in the pool, and he talked to him about being healed, and he said, I don't have anyone to get me in the water. you know, we might say, I don't have a man to toss me in the pool. I don't have someone in the natural, just like Mary was saying, I've known not a man. In verse 37, it goes on to say, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, verse 38, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Isn't that the way we need to approach Christmas and every day of our lives? Be it unto me according to thy word. Who else gave? Well, the innkeeper. There was no room in the inn. And for some reason, I like this character. The innkeeper gave him help. You see, I like the character because there's an emotional attachment to the character itself. Because I was the rude innkeeper in a church play. The church play was pretty amazing. You know, I think I was in high school and I was had this odd prop to use. There were two walls with an overhanging wall that went into a place in a chapel where the choir might go. And between those two walls, I had to hang a curtain rod with a curtain on it to represent the door of the inn. And I had to hang it on these two nails, and I had to do it in the dark. When I first started rehearsals, I just could not get it on those two nails in the dark. And then it finally got to where it was fairly consistent. But the greatest fear was that it was going to fall. Because, you see, Joseph, this character Joseph, the guy who played that in this kind of contemporary updated version of the Christmas story, came and banged on the door. He banged on one of the walls where one of the nails was, and it was that one end of the curtain rod was hanging. Well, the night of the play came, and the lights went out, and I took the curtain rod through those two walls, between those two walls in that entranceway, stood on a chair, and hung it up there and couldn't see a thing and just felt. But it just did, something didn't feel right. Like one of the curtain rod end was not on that nail properly. It was just hanging there, just barely, I guess. I just didn't feel right about it. So I was a bit worried. So I get off the chair and go back between the curtains behind the doorway. And Joseph, the guy playing Joseph, comes up and bangs on the door. And I have to part the curtains and walk out and say, never forget my line, who in the devil do you think you are? Like waking me up this time of night. And I was just this rude guy. So thank God the thing didn't fall. The curtain rod didn't fall. And after the play was over, the lights came up. And the first thing I did was get up on that chair and look at that. It was just barely hanging on. To me, that was a Christmas miracle. So the innkeeper, the character of the innkeeper, he gave them help. He must have told them of a stable. One person wrote, the hinge of history is on the door of a Bethlehem stable. Now, there may have been a door, there may not, but I love that line. The hinge of history is on the door of a Bethlehem stable. The hinge of history is on the door of a Bethlehem stable. Who else gave? The angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord gave a birth announcement. He gave good news. You see, spiritual darkness was about to be rolled away. The way to pardon and peace with God was about to be thrown open to all mankind. The head of Satan was about to be bruised. Liberty was about to be proclaimed to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. The angel of the Lord, many theologians proclaim that as the living Christ, the Christ. So my question is, did he announce his own birth? I mean, if you think about it, it was cheaper than birth announcements. Maybe he told them he was coming before he was born. And then after his death, he came back to see that the new covenant was carried out. Now, we don't have any trouble with him coming back to life, but we do, some of us have trouble with him announcing his own birth, the arrival of redemption. Just something to think about. So number one, who gave? Number one, God. Number two, Caesar Augustus. Number three, Joseph. Number four, Mary. Number five, the innkeeper. Number six, the angel of the Lord. Number seven, the heavenly hosts. The heavenly hosts, they came. Glory to God in the highest. They came as a confirmation. They gave a confirmation, we could say. I thought about this one time. I don't know if I heard someone say it or just came up with it, but it was kind of an off-the-wall joke. They gave confirmation to the shepherds they had not been drinking fermented goat's milk. No. They gave the shepherds hope. They gave them hope. Hey, this is real. Something is happening. That's number 7. Number 8, what did the shepherds give? The shepherds, they gave the news to everybody. They heard it and they went. They went and acted on the word. The shepherds told others. They just kind of heard and wondered. But the shepherds knew something had happened. I remember, this is so cool, this memory just came back to me, that years ago I went to Israel, on a trip to Israel with my parents. And even though the location of where the shepherds were is not really known, on Christmas Eve, we went to a place called Shepherd's Field. And maybe it's a tourist thing, I don't know. But we went there and we had a candlelight service outside of Bethlehem. It was beautiful to think, maybe you're not in the same field, but wow, you're experiencing something. And maybe even it wasn't the time of year, as we know. But to me, it was so special. Maybe you're experiencing something that the shepherds did singing, as we sang, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and look back to Bethlehem out in a field. It was a great experience. Praise God. So, the shepherds gave the news. Number 8. Number 9, the wise men. Well, they gave worship, gifts, and protection. And maybe it wasn't the same night or the same time frame. Maybe it was later. But Matthew 2:11-12 says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country into their own country another way." They protected the child. So the wise men gave worship, gifts, and protection. And finally, number 10, Jesus Christ. The Christ, what did he give? Well, he gave up something. He gave up his deity, and he gave his life for us. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." As I'm reading that just now, I'm reminded he was the only begotten, and he became the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn. And we are numbered after him, praise God, when we accept Jesus as our Lord. You see, Jesus left the splendor of heaven for this place. The Son of God was manifest, the Bible says, to destroy the works of the devil. So we don't allow the devil to work his works in our lives. It's up to us. So Jesus was rejected at birth by men, maybe who could have given up their place in the inn. Think about that. Wonder what kind of reward they would have received. So here's my question to you. What will you give from your heart this Christmas? One person wrote, "It's Christmas in the heart that puts Christmas in the air." That's powerful. Now, let's get down to brass tacks in America here. Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny don't live in your heart. Jesus does. Okay, years ago, I repented. I used to say before I had a child, I would not really lie about Santa Claus. I'm not sure I really ever did, but I went along with the kind of the idea, or didn't speak up with when others told my son about him. My. I even read the book the night before Christmas. But you know something? I still have the original copy of that my mother used to read to me. Mystical, magical type night. And just as in 1960, when I was 4 years old and I awoke on Christmas morning and there was chimney soot on my pillowcase. Well, strange things kind of happened as my son Braxton was younger as well. Yes, there was a kind of a muddy boot print near the chimney. at the fireplace. Cookies and milk kind of kept disappearing. But the most puzzling thing was what I call puzzling sleigh tracks in my front yard on Christmas morning. It was the strangest experience I think I've had at Christmas from the natural realm. Yes, I thought about it all day. I kept going back and looking at those tracks, sleigh tracks. Now, we hadn't had snow, but it had a lot of rain. And there was kind of muddy out in the, you know, in the dirt where the grass wasn't, and kind of dirt there. And in that dirt were two tracks of rails that had gone out like a miniature sleigh. It was very odd. And only when it hit me what had happened did I understand what was going on. You see, just before Christmas that year, a day or so before, I had had a hot water heater replaced. And they had taken the old hot water heater out through the front door. And in the front yard, they'd put it on, as I recall, some sort of little sled to drag it across, not necessarily wheels, it may have been, but it drag it across the yard to put it on the truck to remove it. And it made those tracks, I guess, because that's the only explanation I've got. Anyway, when I was small myself, I asked Eloise about Santa. And it was during the 50s, you know, so without destroying the magic and curiosity of a young boy, she gave the best answer for me to digest and live by the remainder of my life. She said, "There is the spirit of Christmas, and that's the spirit of giving." Well, that settled it within me at that age, that that's what's really important, the spirit of Christmas and the spirit of giving. And just like everyone in the Christmas story gave something, it's up to us to give from our heart. I believe in the spirit of Christmas, and I do believe in the spirit of giving. I believe in the legend of a man, the legend's different in different countries, who gave children gifts. I believe people like him exemplify the spirit of Christmas. I mean, one year, okay, I even put a Santa and a reindeer in my front yard. It was funny growing up. As a kid, we had this same Santa. My dad had cut it out and along with his reindeer and put him up in the yard. And for several years, people would steal Santa and take him down the street. I don't know why they did that, but they did. Maybe they were trying to get a message across to us. And they'd take him down the street and put him out against a bush somewhere. But we always found Santa. That was a miracle in itself. Come to find out, years later, I was living in another town and drove by a store, and they were selling used items, and there was one of those Santa Clauses that Dad had cut out. I was really shocked. Well, yes, Christmas miracles still occur. It just depends on how you see them. My wife decorates our home with fun decorations, gingerbread men, lights, candy canes, Christmas stockings from the past with parents' names on them. I think that's cool. Flashing snowflakes, different things. I may help hang a window wreath or two. And yes, I still put reindeer driveway markers out, little red or whatever color they are now, to mark the driveway entrance. That's about all I do. Charles Dickens stated, "It's good to be children sometimes, and never better than at Christmas, when the mighty founder was a child himself." Yes, that child, the Christ child, was in the manger. You know, he was upholding all things by the word of his power, the word says. I remember when someone told me that the Christ in the manger was upholding all things. When I saw the scripture and I thought about that, it was amazing. Christ had a purpose when he came here. We celebrate his birthday. That's kind of one way of doing it. We celebrate all the things he did for us. And we mark out this one time of year when we do that, or at least make an event out of it. But it's really our whole lives, isn't it? That we're to worship Christ. A famous doctor who enjoyed writing poetry wrote this about Christmas. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. Perhaps you know that famous doctor as Dr. Seuss. Christmas, someone said, is the one time of year when you drag a dead tree in the house and eat candy out of a sock. Yeah, well, okay, that's America, I guess. I don't know, I'm reminded of the 1940s when I see these Christmas movies in that era. And I think about my dad working up in New York, you know, working up there for a period of time. I think back to his life and what his life was like growing up around Christmas time. Yes, one special Christmas memory, and we've kind of gotten into that, haven't we? But it's a special Christmas memory is the song Away in a Manger. We had a church play once, and there was a little girl singing in the song. If she hears this, she'll probably remember, or maybe not. But I was playing the guitar, and she was singing the song Away in a Manger. And as she came up to the line, the cattle are lowing. I'm not sure she knew what that even meant. But she sang it this way. The cattle are mowing. I'm not sure if she changed it quickly then or the second time through she sang it. She didn't sing the cattle are mowing. She said the cattle are glowing and then changed it quickly to blowing. I was on the platform playing the guitar with her singing this and I kept thinking, the cattle are mowing. You know why they do that? They're glowing. Okay. They're blowing. Maybe they're glowing from the glory of God coming off the Christ child, but they're blowing. What are they blowing? They're blowing cold air. You know, I don't know. They're blowing bubblegum bubbles is what I thought. I started laughing while I was playing the guitar. Here's an old poem I read. It's Christmas in the mansion, Yule log fires and silken frocks. It's Christmas in the cottage, mother's filling little socks. It's Christmas on the highway in the thronging, busy mart. But the dearest, truest Christmas is the Christmas in the heart. This year, I say, give Christmas from your heart. And as I said many years ago, and now we've got a new adaptation, yes, yes, Al, Eloise, Mildred, Betsy, Jim Ray, Paul Sellers, Vivian, Brenda, and Ed and Arlie. And now, not only those who've gone on, but Jerry across the miles on the mission field, and Joanne, and of course, Braxton. There is the spirit of Christmas and the spirit of giving. Let's have Christmas in our hearts. Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us today for The Word Works, a podcast outreach of In Christ Ministries. Please consider subscribing to receive our latest podcasts. For more information about this ministry and additional resources, please visit us at bertandjoe.com. That's BERTANDJO.com. And remember, the Word works.